Okay, I'm going to pray for those who are going to take exams. So how do you feel? Are you okay? Still alive? Okay. Well, it's good to, you know, learn how to find strength and focus on God as you prepare for your exams. You know, and one of the things that I'm going to talk to you all today about is the whole idea of having character. It's important to have character because as you go through all the challenges of life, you know, it will show what kind of character you have. Do you have a definitive character or do you have a deflated character? And times like this, these are times where you see your character, and character is very much in line with how you practice the Word of God in your life. Okay? And the character that we have is the foundation of our life. If your character is bad, you don't practice the Word of God, then your character is not going to stand you in good stead when you go through challenges. Okay? So today we're going to talk about character building and the whole idea of how we can go through anything in life. And we find the strength to go through them. Okay, well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this afternoon, we want to pray and ask that you will bless this time. Even as we study your word, we pray that you will grant us wisdom from above, teach us, and we pray that we can apply these lessons into our life, especially even as we prepare for exams or even as we learn what it means to walk as Christians in this dark and perverse world. And we ask your Father that you will especially be with all those who are studying and preparing for their exams, dear Lord, that you will grant them your grace and strength and bless us this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What kind of character do you have? Okay, your character is different from the idea of personality, right? Many of us, we are born with a personality. Okay? Some of us, we tend to be a bit more, you know, we have a joyous disposition, right? Do you all have friends in school? They are always laughing, they're always smiling. They're always joking half the time, right? I'm sure you all have friends like that, right? Yes, some of them, they're just, you know, very funny, very humorous, and they're fun to be with, okay? So that's their personality, right? Some of us, we are more extrovert, some of us are introvert. What kind of personality do you think I have? Introvert? Extrovert? I'm more introvert. I think I'm a bit of mix. I'm extrovert. I love, you know, going outdoors, doing all kinds of things, having a good time. But I tend to also be very pensive at times when I think about things. I tend to be inward looking. So I'm a bit of both. Pastor Mark, what do you think? Pastor Mark is more... I also don't know. After knowing him for so many years, when he was young, he tends to be very soft-spoken. Okay, he tends to be a bit more timid. I'm the, very brash. Fight first, think later kind. Okay, that's my personality. And many of us, we have different personality. Right, Alistair, what's your personality? Yeah, I agree, okay? All this while, he's very gentle. Right? Huh? And that's nice. That's nice. He's still available. Hey, it's nice to have a gentleman. Ah, Okay? Yeah. Eugene, what kind of... The other one. Yeah. What kind of personality do you have? Also gentle. Okay. You see, we all got different personalities, right? That's what we are born with. Okay? Character is what you are inside. Personality is what you are on the outside, right? Character is what you are inside. What are you truly made of? Okay? And in times of testing, in times of taking exams, in times of testings in the world, you see what kind of character you have. There's a lot of things happening in Singapore press holding. Okay, there's a lot of things. Recently, there was this girl who tried to commit suicide because she had an affair with two men. Okay, in the company, and she tried to commit suicide. Why? Because she made a mess out of her life. Right. So you ask, what kind of character does this person have? When you can compromise and you give in, or you know, and what is it that she stands for? See, you ask yourself, what is it that you stand for and what do you stand on? That's your character. If you don't stand for anything, you have nothing to stand on, you don't have any character. I can tell you that. What takes over is sin. Okay. Now I ask Mr., you know, this pastor who just went to jail recently, right, from another church. And he is in jail for quite a number of years. And I'm always very challenged to ask myself, would I end up like that one day, taking money from the church, compromising? Would my character allow that? And my answer is no, I won't. All these years, 22 years that I've been in Bethany, I've been in charge of the petty cash in the church. Okay? I can take the money from the church, come out with some receipt, and take the money. I can siphon out money anytime, no problem. I know how to work the system. It's very easy to know how to duplicate things and so on. But all these 22 years, I've never taken a single cent from the church because my character does not allow it. I choose not to take any money from the church. That's my character. I won't even borrow money from someone. If I have like, okay, you know, I need to renovate my house or something, and would I go and borrow money from someone? I won't even do that. Some of the student pastors, I think they're richer than me. Okay, which is good. Eugene, you know, would I go to Eugene and ask, hey, Eugene, can I borrow 10,000 from you? I think no problem, he will lend it to me, but you got to pay back. Right? Right, Eugene, good friends, right? Will you lend me the money? Yes, he would. I think. But would I ask him? I will never ask. I will never... You see, sometimes people can have a very bad habit. They borrow from people. They take, borrow, never give back. That is a very, very bad habit. You know, one of the things, young people, you want to start learning now is to learn to live within your means. What is your character? You see, your character determines your action. Your character determines how you go through the challenges of life. If you don't have a steadfast foundation that causes you to choose that which is right, you are going to be led astray left and right. Any way possible, the world will influence you and you are going to be drawn in many, many different directions. So my challenge to you today, what is your character like? Are you building a strong definitive character. Definitive meaning it is something that is definite and yet it is based on something with authority and with strength. That's the idea of definitive. Definite is, yes, okay, this is a definite thing. But definitive, you know you can stand. You know this is the right thing to do. You know this character will stand the test of time. How many tests have I gone through? How many exams have I gone through? I've gone through thousands. You know, some of the exams that I've taken, I tell you, what is the most challenging exams I've taken? Here, in Bethany. Who's the examiner? Pastor Charlie. I tell you, the two of them, they're having it easy. You especially, from Myanmar. From India. You're having it easy. I tell you, when we all first started, Pastor Mark and I, our exams last 1.5 days. Firstly, half a day to try to figure out what is he asking. And then the other one day to answer the question. You got to type out all our answers. I tell you, it is super demanding. Every time you go on mission trip, oh, paranoia, exam come. Every mission trip. But you know, what's my character? I learn from it. I find the strength to go through it. I learn stamina. I learn how to depend upon the grace of God. I don't give in to my, moments where I feel panic and so on. I learn to find strength. You see, that is part of your character. What kind of character do you have? Is your character one that allows you to just compromise? Here comes your friends, Tobias, here comes someone from RJ, and it's someone you like. And this girl comes and says, Toby. Will you go and do this for me? Or do something that is wrong? Go drinking, go pubbing. Would you do it? Yes or no? No, I hoped. Right, who cares? I'm not going to go. You see, what kind of character do you really have? Why am I saying this? Because, especially the last 6 months, I've come across people who are 40 years old, 50 years old, 60 years old, and they end up with a lot of problems and difficulties and challenges because they never built their character. They end up with dishonesty. They end up with lying. They end up with going against the law of the land. And you end up with shame. You end up with disgrace. You end up with all kinds of problems. No end to problem. If there's one thing, young people, that you want to build and to build it right now, is to have godly character, a strong character, a character that will stand you in good stead in the test of time. Okay? Now, let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. And we read in Matthew chapter 5, but now we've been studying about the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, right? We started with that. If you have no humility, you can't do anything, right? Secondly, you need to mourn for your sins. Thirdly, we learn how to be meek. Now, number 4, we read, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, the word filled is the idea of a person who is fully satisfied. You know, he eats, he drinks, and he's full. He's full of it in his life. And righteousness is something that you must imbibe. It's something that you internalize. It is something that must become part of you. And righteousness is actually the main idea with reference to the Beatitudes. All these things, blessed are the poor, mourn, comforted, being merciful, pure in heart, it's all about being righteous. Why? Look. Okay, verse 6, hunger and thirst after righteousness, right? Verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Right? So the focus is righteousness. He goes on to talk, the Lord Jesus went on to mention, in verse 20, for I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay? And then in chapter 6, we also read in verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So what is the Beatitudes all about? It's about righteousness. It's about seeking, hungering, and thirsting after righteousness. That's character. That's the kind of life that we are meant to live, to have righteous character. Now, righteousness is not conditioning. Okay, you can train yourself. There's this new swimmer, a swimming prodigy. His name is Michael Andrews. Okay, they call him the next Michael Phelps. He's only 17 years old, and he has won more than 20 age group U.S. Records, swimming records. 20 over. That's more than Michael Phelps when he first started. And you know, every day he trains, he has a new training system where instead of just swimming long distance, you know what they do every day? They swim very intense swimming at race speed. So he conditions the mind to train at race speed every day. He has his own swimming pool in the backyard of his house, two lanes. The father is the coach. And every day he trains. And you know the interesting thing about him? He's a Christian. Because it's home thing, it is indoor swimming pool, all the walls, all filled with memory verses. So as he swims, he memorizes memory verses. He has his own speaker system. Every day when he swims, play Christian music. Dung, 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 you know, Christian music. And he swims. Cannot be slow Christian music. It has to be a bit more, well, a beat, I guess. You're going to swim. You're going to go, you know, songs must be upbeat. And you know what? He says, very interesting, he says, I am not swimming for myself. I'm not swimming for my father. I'm swimming for the glory of God. Wow. And he said, whatever I achieve, all glory goes to God. And wow. And he's winning. He's winning. He's only 17 years old and he's doing really well. His focus, I want to give all glory to God. That's his character. Sure, you can swim, you can condition, but there's a difference when you bring character into what you do. Would you cheat on a test if everybody else is cheating? Would you say yes and you compromise when everybody else is compromising? See, that's character. And righteousness is something that you must, you know, hunger after. It's almost like a spiritual appetite. Right? It's like something you cultivate. It is something that as you hunger and thirst after, it's just like food. When you are stressed, what do you crave after, Olivia? Do you crave after something when you're stressed? I need to eat. No. When you're training, rowing boat, row, row, row my boat, right? Every day, what is it that you crave after? Not bananas or apple, yeah. But is there something you crave? Nothing. You don't feel hungry after. Never train hard enough. You know, when I was training as a water polo, 3 hours of training, when I rise from the swimming pool, smoke will rise. Like, you know, one of those shows, when you arise, Aquaman, not Aquaman, what's the new show coming? Justice League, the guy. Is it Aquaman? It's Aquaman, right? Yeah, okay, Aquaman, coming out. I tell you, I need to eat rice. I arise to eat rice. I need to eat, if I don't eat rice, I cannot train. And I crave for it. Right? See, righteousness is something you must crave for. You see, righteousness, becoming righteous, is God's work. Changing is God's work. Transformation is God's work. Our part is to crave for it. It is to hunger after it. It is to thirst for it. You understand? Every morning when you get up, what's the first thing you think, Tobias? Go back to sleep. Hungry. Are you hungry first thing in the morning? No. John? Aaron, what's the first thing you think when you get up? What time you get up? 6. Oh, okay, not bad. Joseph, what time you get up? 5:30. What time does your sister get up? 4:30. Yeah, okay, what's the first thing you think when you get up?
I count the number of hours of sleep.
Oh, you count the number of hours. And then? What do you do next?
I think that I need more sleep.
Okay, you need more sleep. Okay, you know, for me, the first thing I think about, what do you think I do? First thing I think is what memory verse I'm going to memorize this morning. Every morning, that's what I do. So I train, I hunger, I thirst after righteousness. I build my character. I build my foundation. I strengthen my foundation every day. What kind of character do you have? See, sometimes you cannot see yourself for who you are until you are placed out there in the world, until you go through a major exams. What are you? Right? You know, my challenge to you, cultivate your character. Okay? You will be filled. Now, there's an interesting part here where he talks about the whole idea of you shall receive. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, it is not just about hungering and thirsting after righteousness alone. It's also about receiving mercy. See, there is our part and there is God's part. You can't do this alone. You can't just crave after something, seek after something, without the mercies of God. I tell you, I'm not a perfect pastor. But one thing I've done all these years is that I've sought to be righteous. I've sought to follow after the Lord. But you know, I also have received lots of mercy. What is it that makes me strong? Not just my character, the mercies of God. Can you see how both go together? There's our part, And there's also God's mercy upon our life. So even as you go and take your exams, for those who A-levels and O-levels, depend upon the mercies of God. You can do your part. Sure, you can every day study hard, study hard, study hard. But it's not just your studying hard. It's also the mercies of God. I depend upon the mercies of God every day. Every day. How do I depend on the mercies of God? You know, when I seek to be merciful. See, this is called the principle of reciprocity. When we learn to be merciful to people, God will be merciful to you. You turn with me to Psalm 37. And Psalm 37 is very interesting. It's one of those psalms that have a few of the Beatitudes in it. Okay, when it talks about the meek, right? The righteous, and also the merciful. Okay, it's one of those very special psalms that you have all these three elements that's there. Okay, and so let's turn to Psalm 37. And we were talking about the whole idea of trusting God and learning to commit things to Him and learning how to rest in the Lord. And, you know, we learn how to be, we become the meek. Now, if we carry on from there, we see the idea of the righteous, right? In verse 16. So we begin with the person who is trusting, he learns to commit his way to the Lord, he rests, and then he learns to be the meek shall inherit the earth. And then in verse 16, we see a little that a righteous man has. Can you see the development? Now he goes on to righteousness. Right? Okay? So he learns to learn what it means to be righteous. Here, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. The arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Even as we seek to do the right thing, we want to follow the right way, who will uphold you? God. God will uphold you through all the whatever challenges you may have in life. He will uphold you. Okay? Right? The Lord knows the days of the upright. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. Days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Okay, verse 21. The righteous shows mercy. The wicked borrows and does not repay. You see, bad habit. If you borrow and you don't repay, what are you? So you will borrow from your friends. Whatever. Okay, What are things you borrow nowadays? Everything's on the internet. Now, whatever you borrow, book. Do you borrow books? I wanted to say videotape, but no such thing as videotape. Nowadays, everything's on the internet. So actually, you don't need to borrow. Borrow clothing. Do you borrow clothing? Borrow pen. Borrow car. Right, what do you borrow? Do you borrow things or not? You borrow anything, Aaron? No, you don't borrow things, isn't it? Nowadays, we don't really borrow things. Okay, but if you do borrow something, for me, it's books. People borrow from my library, my personal library. Books, they never return. And sheepishly, one day, someone come, Pastor Mitch, after four years. Right, Leanne? No. Borrow, never return. Whoa, worse. When first borrow out, mean condition. Wow, very nice. Come back. Like kiam chai, you know. Ayo. But it's okay. Blessed are the merciful. Right, Leanne? We learn to be merciful. It's okay. Our character. We learn how to, you know, we go through whatever. God is going to be there with you, uphold you. Show mercy and give. those blessed by him shall inherit the earth. The steps, I like verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Will there be times when we will be cast down? Yes. Would there be times when we fall? Yes. Would there be times when we stray? Yes. But you know what? God's mercy, you will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. One of the things that I've experienced all these years, 30 years that I've, since I became a serious Christian, all these 30 years, is how God upholds me. Yes, I cultivate my character, but I thank God that he upholds me. Okay, to go through whatever I have to go through in life. Right? I have been young and now I'm old. I'm 51 years old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. He is ever merciful and lends. Wow. If people come to me, they ask for money, will I give? Yes. If I have money. If I have no money, sorry. Pastor Mark, more money, okay? Yeah, you can go to him. But, you know, if people come to me, have I lent people money? Yes, I have. Thousands of dollars. Have I given out, you know, when people ask, have I given out more than 1,000? Yes, I have. Will I learn to be merciful? Yes. Will they give back? No. Will I still give? Yes. But I won't do it foolishly. I will think through, I will pray, and I will consider, and I will lend. And if people cannot pay back, it's okay. I learned an important lesson of being merciful. Okay? It's okay to give. It's okay to have less. Right? Anyway, I'm on a diet, so I don't eat. Nowadays, no need to eat so much. Right? I still got 3 more kg to go. I've lost 5 kg. 5, 6, sometimes 5, sometimes 6. Depending on after the weekend or before the weekend. And you know what? Wow! Soon, I'm waiting to go down to 69. So I'm now about 72, 73. When I reach 69, I will buy a new set of pens. Because this one has been pulling up. Right? So I'm waiting for that. Okay? I got all these vouchers. Wow, ready to be used. And you know, it's okay. Well, you learn. You learn, okay, I'm just going to trust the Lord. The Lord has provided. I learn to be merciful. His descendants are blessed. I got no descendants. But I got godchildren. You know what? I hope they will be blessed. Right? Depart from evil. Do good. Dwell forevermore. Can you see this? The righteous shall inherit the land. Dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. His tongue talks of justice. The law of God of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Wow, I like that. The law of his God is in his heart. You want to learn to find good, strong character? Hide the word of God in your heart. Imbibe the word of God. That's the idea. Eating and drinking righteousness. Okay? Learn how to eat the word of God. Let it become a part of you till righteousness comes forth. You see, that's part of what it means to have righteousness. See, there are two types of righteousness. There's imputed righteousness and there is personal righteousness. If you have imputed righteousness is justification. When you believe in the Lord Jesus, God declares you righteous. That's called imputed righteousness. Before God, you are righteous. Anytime you die, you go to heaven. Because God sees your righteousness, He sees your righteousness. Actually, it is not our righteousness. It is the Lord's righteousness. He puts it on you. You follow? That's what justification means. Imputed righteousness. Okay? If you have imputed righteousness, if truly you understand it, you appreciate your salvation, you find great gratitude for the salvation you have, you thank God. There's a lot of life within you. You know, from that imputed righteousness, from that life, it will flow to personal righteousness. You will find strength to say, you know what, I'm going to develop my character. It will flow from one to another. You understand? So if you have true salvation, it will flow. It will outflow to your life. And you will seek to develop your character, your righteousness. And you can stand the test of time. It's like building a house built on a solid rock. When the tsunami of life comes, you know, wow, during the week, past week, Sulawesi, right? Indonesia, tsunami. I was watching a video, how this guy is shouting everybody, long tsunami, tsunami coming. Wow, he was shouting everybody. And then you see this tsunami, big wave coming. Boom. Everything in its path, gone. Scary. Nowadays, when was the last time you heard of a tsunami? Christmas, right? Boxing Day, tsunami. You know, during my time before that, you never hear of tsunamis. The last tsunami before this recent Boxing Day tsunami was last century. You never hear of it. Now it is so common. It is so common now. You know what? What if something happens to Singapore? Will you be ready for it? Will your character stand the test of time? When the rain... Okay, let's go back to Matthew. Okay, Matthew... Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The wise man is a thinking man. He thinks through things. He decides, you know what? I'm going to think through this before I do anything. He thinks through, you know, how am I going to stand the test of life? He thinks carefully. He thinks, you know what? I'm going to build my character because life is going to hurl all kinds of challenges against me. The flood is going to come. The rain is going to come. The wind is going to come. How am I going to stand against it? You know, there's this man in Florida. He built a house. He's so fed up about, you know, the floods coming, the typhoon coming. He built a house that is this shape, like an egg. And then there's windows and so on. This house can stand wind speed of 200 mph. Oh. You know what? He's getting ready for the next hurricane that will come. Young people, are you building your life, your character for the storms and the challenges of life? You know what? The storms of life will come. Pastor is not well, right? And because he's not well, okay, he's going to only speak this weekend one message, tomorrow morning worship. And straight away, he sent us an email. Just now, I just opened up email. They say, okay, Pastor Mitch, Pastor Mark, can you take over Bible study, prayer meeting, and PMC? Huh? That's 2 days away. Can I do it? Ah, Oli, you want to take over? Next week, want to chair or not? Chairing. Huh? Why not? Grace. Full of grace. Yes. Yanning, why not? Next week. Panic. If I ask you straight away, oh, you all, share one song. Why not? I'm serious. I want to, but I don't want you all to panic because I know exam's coming. So I'm merciful. Okay, but pastor is not. Well, he is lah. He is always merciful. It's just that got no choice. Anyway, this is not the worst situation I've been. Actually, I'm looking, you know, to me, anytime God wants me to speak, I will speak. But I got to find out what am I going to speak on first. I don't know what I'm going to speak on, but okay, you know what? I'm going to do it. Right. What is the shortest time in terms of preparation I had for a message? What do you think is the shortest time? 1 hour. 1 hour. 1 hour. No. Less. Shortest time to prepare for a message. Pastor say, go, speak, now. What's the shortest time? Huh? No, shorter than 1 hour. Enough for 1 hour. Nicholas. Half an hour, shorter than that. Shorter than that. 2 minutes. Pastor, are you coming? Oh, yeah. Never mind, you take over, Mitch. Huh? That was morning devotion, one of the youth conference. You know, there was some miscommunication. He thought there wasn't morning devotion. Everybody was waiting. And I call him, Pastor, are you coming? Oh, never mind. Okay, anyway, Mitch, you take over. Huh? 7:28. 7:30 start. Run! What do you think I did? Run! Sawa! Siam! Moses, what would you have done? Actually, that's what I did. First thing I do, I say, Lord, save me. Help me. You know, the first thing I did was I prayed. And you know, next moment, God gave me a word to say. And I preached something that has become a part of my heart. 1 minute, pray. 1 minute, prepare. Straight away, I taught. Half an hour. Thank God. This is called preaching extemporaneously. Right? You depend upon the Spirit of God. See, character. I didn't crumble. I thank God for His mercies. You see, don't crumble. Don't crumble under the challenges and the storms of life. A wise man, he will think through it. He will build now. He don't wait until later when the storm comes, then I try to build. Too late. You want to build, you build now. You build strong principles with reference to your character. You build non-negotiable. I'm not going to negotiate on this. These are the things that will define my life as a Christian. And I'm not going to negotiate. No girl is going to negotiate with me. No man. Tall, dark, handsome man will negotiate with me. Either you listen to me or get out of the way. Ha. Right? Please don't give in to a man who, wow, this one looks like Korean star. Talks like, oh, Mr. Lee Kuan Yew. No, talks like, oh, wow. Talks like who? Who is a very good talker today? Actor, actress, who? Anybody? Brad Pitt. Who? Who's a famous actor today? You're like, Yanning? Don't know. Chloe? See, I'm so out of touch. Anyway, coming back to my point, don't let anybody cause you to go astray. Right, Audrey? Don't. Huh? Not worth it. Find someone who loves the Lord, who has character. Find someone who can be a refuge, a shelter from the storm. Don't let him create the storm. He's there to protect you. Right? Find someone that will protect you from the storm of life. Someone who has character. First thing you look for, you want to look for a future spouse. Find someone with character. Someone who will stand with you on Christian principles, on a solid rock. Find someone who is wise. Find someone who loves the Lord. At this point of time, don't find someone. Study first. Earn a living. Then find someone. Okay? Don't quote me wrongly. Which part of my message? You better quote properly, okay? Pastor Mee say, okay, find someone. But find someone with character. No. Don't take things out of context. Right, Elizabeth? Context. Context rule. Okay? Character. Most important, okay? And then we learn how to be merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Learn to be merciful. Learn to be kind. Learn to be gracious. If you are merciful, others will be merciful. Don't be judgmental. You know, I was just reading a story. And let me just end with this story. I was very, very moved by it. In the U.S., sometimes they have these people who are homeless. So there was this man. His name is Cody. Okay, his name is Cody Huff. You know Hillary Huff? Hillary Duff? Okay, anyway. Cody Huff, his name. You know, when he was 5 years old, broken family, dysfunctional family, father left him. 12 years old, he started taking marijuana, drugs. 14 years old, he left. He was, you know, a mother would beat him, physically abused, ran away from home, hang out with some of her friends, started eating drugs. 14 years old, drugs, LSD, 25. Ended up in boys' home, came out 15 years old, hit and run. He drove a car illegally, hit and run accident. Went to the prison for kids. When he was in prison, he learned all the wrong things. How to fight, how to, you know, steal, how to go into the drug trade. When he came out, he started his own drug trade. He started, you know, influenced by friends, and he started selling drugs. Okay, he earned lots of money. And then one day, he did something really stupid. He started taking heroin. Okay, heroin, once you go into it, very hard to get out of it. Okay, so he started taking heroin. He lost all his money. Okay, went to prison, came out, met a girl who was a nurse, helped him find a job in a hospital. For a few years, life was good. Then he broke out with this girl, life became bad. Went back to heroin. You see, if you have no character, you just end up with whatever. Whatever brings relief. So he went into heroin, made a mess of his life again, ended up in prison. So many times he went to prison. Came out, no money. Then he decided he had no money, he ended up being homeless. So he started sleeping at a park. Every day he will go there and he will find a spot. And he will stay in a pub. First few days, he tried to bathe, tried to find food. Nobody wanted to give him food. Then he began to smell after a few weeks. And you know, he tried to do a lot of things to beg and nothing. So he was really, really smelly. He was so smelly that all the homeless people can smell him as he comes into the park. They shout at him, go and get a bath, go. Nobody wanted, everybody shunned him. Can you imagine being homeless and every of the homeless people also shun him? How bad can that be? At one point, he had to go to the garbage bin to go and find food. He said that was the lowest point in his life. One day, one of his friends came to him and said, why don't you go to this church? They'll give you a good bath, you some food. So he went, smelly like anything. He went to the place, he sat down, and then there was this girl, much older lady, her name is Michelle, went to Cody and said, you look like you need a hug. And she gave him a hug and told him, you know, God loves you. And you know, after that, that was a moment where, you know, he just felt something very different. He said in his heart, why would this girl hug me when nobody wants to come near me? Everybody shuns me. Everybody hates me. Nobody wants to give me a chance in life. Why would this lady hug me? And later on, she was given some food. And this lady began to tell him about how God loves him and shared the gospel with him. And it was very, very special. Few days, he came every day after that. He came every day studying the Bible. He came every day. Every day he came back, he just wanted to find out about this God. And he heard the gospel. And then one day, he went back on the sand in a park. He got down on his knees and he told the Lord, Lord, I made a mess of my life. If there's one person that can help me, it would be you. Help me. From that day onwards, his life changed. No more drugs. You know, sometimes people getting off drugs is a process. Some takes years. His was one decision. That's it. No more drugs. Everybody will come. He was saying, you know, the next few weeks, everybody will come to him, hey, you want drugs, free drugs, give you drugs? And he would say, no. To cut a long story short, he would volunteer in the church, he would reach out to people, he shared the gospel, and finally he got a job, he had a salary, things were going fine for him, and finally he became a pastor in that church. And it all started with one lady going to him and showing mercy. Wow. I was very deeply moved by this story. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And so, the story ends with him reaching out to the homeless in the park. And he was telling them, you know that spot there? That was where I was sleeping. That was where I made the decision to follow the Lord Jesus. There, you know, I was one of you. Wow. That's his ministry now. See, young people, what is your character? What kind of character do you have that can stand the test of time, that can go through all the challenges and all the problems that life will hurl at you, and they will come? Do you have the character, a definitive character, to help you through them? Will you have a character that will learn to depend upon the mercies of God? I've learned the last 30 years is that you can't go through life alone. You need God. You need His mercies. And that's how I've gone through life the last 30 years. Seeking, thirsting, hungering after righteousness, and depending on His mercies every day. And if you can do that, then life, you will also see how God will bless every step of the way. Okay? Think about it. Think. Change if you have to. Well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to pray and thank you for the Beatitudes. We thank you that we can learn very important and precious lessons about life, about how we should live, how we must have character, definitive, godly character, one that will seek after righteousness. And along the way, as we seek to be merciful, you will also be merciful to us. Lord, we know that we cannot go through this life alone. We need you. We need you to guide us, to strengthen us, to help us build a strong foundation for our life. And we pray, dear Father, that you will help us build this strong foundation based on the Beatitudes. And you will bless, you will guide, and you will show mercy and grace along the way. I want to pray again for those who are taking exams, that, Lord, you will build them. Grant them your grace and strength. Help them to have the character to go through what they need to go through. And beyond, Lord, I just want to pray for your blessings. And bless us as we give this offering to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's give an offering.